Hi, I'm Alan Brown in Perth, Western Australia, and I'm Seeking the Kingdom. In this session, we're going to be looking at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew chapter 7. It's all about Jesus' authority as King. In our previous podcast, we looked at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. There, Jesus declared that the world under his kingship would be a different kind of world from what it's ever been before. He would give the kingdom to the poor. He would give comfort to the grieving. He would give an inheritance to the powerless. He would satisfy those who were hungering and thirsting but never receiving justice. The Sermon on the Mount then is effectively his kingdom manifesto. It's the king defining what life is going to be like under his kingship. And for those of us who recognize Jesus as king and want to live under his kingship, this is a crucial passage of scripture. The heart of the sermon is probably chapter 6 and verse 33, where Jesus tells us to prioritize seeking the kingdom of God above everything else, to seek it first. And so we're going to be using the lens of Jesus' kingship over the earth to make sense of the concluding passage of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be working backwards from the end. In verses 28 and 29, we get the crowd reaction to what Jesus had said and the way that he'd spoken this and the authority he spoke with. In verses 24 to 27, we have that familiar passage about building on the rock and not on the sand and what that might mean if Jesus is the king instructing us how to live under his kingship. And then we're going to look at a couple of verses immediately before that, verses 21 to 23, that talk about following him as our leader, not just naming him as our leader. And my prayer as we do this is that this will help you to recognize and to implement Jesus' kingship in that part of the world where you live. So let's start at the end with Jesus' authority. According to Matthew 7, 28 and 29, when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowd were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Now, I've seen those verses used in preaching classes. Those who are presenting the classes or those who are writing the books on preaching will tell you, be like Jesus, don't be like the Pharisees, don't be like the Jewish teachers who just taught the law as if it was something there that they were drawing out and expanding. You want to be like Jesus, you want to teach with authority. I'm sorry, but that's not Matthew's point. Matthew's point is that Jesus' authority is unique. It's different. It's not the same as the rest of us who simply teach what God has said in Scripture and expound the teaching that's already there, because Jesus is the King who defines what kingdom life is to be. He is changing the definition of life, and none of the rest of us have the authority to do that. Jesus' authority is unique. See, the teachers of the Torah in Jesus' time weren't giving the law. They were expounding the law that God had given to them at Mount Sinai. They were explaining it. But that's not what Jesus was doing. Jesus was founding a new kingdom. And the new kingdom had some overlap with what had been previously, but it was also different. And that's why the king is now saying, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, there's some overlap between how things were previously and how they are under Jesus' kingship, under a new covenant, but it's not the same thing at all. Jesus has the unique authority as king to found a new kingdom, which is far bigger, far greater than what had been founded at Sinai. What was founded at Mount Sinai was a nation who was representing God's kingship to the other nations. What is founded under the authority of King Jesus is the whole earth being brought under God's kingship. This is a new authority. And the crowds recognize they're hearing something different from simply Bible study or Bible exegesis, Bible explanation. What they're hearing is the king unfolding to them what life on earth ought to be like under his kingship. His authority is unique because he is unique, because he is the king. And that's why the king says, it's so important that you not only hear what I say, but that you put this into practice. Everybody who puts into practice what you hear me saying that the kingdom ought to be like is like someone who's building on this rock. And you're building more than your own individual house. You are building towards something that ultimately is God's kingship on the earth. The rock that Jesus wants us to build on is himself. He's the king. He's the one who's in charge. He's the one who defines a new kind of society, a new kind of existence, a new kind of world. And that's why we aren't to just hear what the king is telling us he is his vision for the world. We are to implement that, to build on that kingship. Jesus alone has the foundation to build a new world that lasts. Every other kind of society, every other kind of kingdom that has ever existed in the world eventually falls apart. It rises like a house built on sand, and then over the tests of time and over the years and the difficulties, the kingdoms that rose fall. Think back in Old Testament times. You'd seen this time and time again, hadn't you? Ancient Egypt, the time of the pharaohs, it was an amazingly powerful kingdom, and the pyramids are still there today to remember those glory days of ancient Egypt. And then Egypt fell. There was Assyria, this amazing empire that was the biggest thing that people in their world had ever seen. And then it fell, and Babylon took over, and then Babylon fell, and Persia took over, and then Persia fell to Alexander the Great, and Greece took over, and then Greece itself ultimately fell to Rome. They'd seen the rise and the fall of all these different kinds of kingdoms because they're all built on sand. Jesus alone can provide a rock-solid foundation for a kingdom that will never fall because he alone is that kind of king. The challenge is, how are you building your life? Are you building on this foundation of Jesus' kingship, the thing that's going to last? Or are you just building on sand, the things that will come for a little while, but ultimately will just blow away like tumbleweed, like dust in the wind? How are you spending your life? Are you spending your life building for the kingdom of God, building on what the king has defined that he wants as his kingship? Or are you just building something for yourself? Do you get up in the morning to make money, simply to build some little empire for yourself? Is that what motivates you? Or are you building for something bigger than you? Are you building for a community that will endure, that will not fail? The only kingdom that will last is the one founded on the words of Jesus, on what he has said. See, even Old Testament Israel was founded to be a representative kingdom of God in the ancient world. And it started okay, and it became quite a significant kingdom under King David. You can read the Psalms where he talks about building this community on the rock. The Lord is my rock, King David says as he writes in the Psalms. But some of his descendants who were king after him didn't follow that wisdom. They were foolish kings, according to the book of Kings and Chronicles in the Old Testament. They built on sand. And so eventually, the way that they were building, God said, they can't continue to represent me. And Israel became just like the other nations. It became a kingdom that fell with a mighty crash. And other nations came in and ruled over them. And in the time that Jesus is speaking these words, they are still under foreign rule. And Jesus is coming announcing the kingdom of God is here. I'm restoring the reign of God. I am giving you the rock solid foundation, only building on the way that I am leading you and the way that I'm teaching you, only building on my kingship will endure. Everything else will fail when the difficult times come, just as Israel itself had done in Old Testament times. And seriously, if we don't follow what Jesus says, if we don't put into practice the words of the king and build that kind of community, that kind of society that he intends for us to be, then we're building on sand. And the rains come and the streams rise and the winds blow and they beat against what we're building. And it falls. And it's a horrific crash because what God intended to be done in Jesus, we're not part of, we're not participating in it. What we're building just falls apart. I'm in my 60s now, and I'm so conscious of this. I may have perhaps only 15 more years, productive years, God willing, if everything else goes well, my health survives, I may have another 15 years to be able to build something. I do not want to build something that simply just falls apart after I'm gone. I want to leave a legacy that lasts. I want to have built something that is on the rock of the foundation of what Jesus intends for his kingship to be on the earth. And that's the reason why I'm doing these podcasts for you, to excite you so that you want to take what Jesus had said society can be like and to build the kind of world that he envisioned, to build on the rock, to put into practice the vision of the king as to what society can be like. And I think that's the vision that others in the New Testament had as well. Paul talks about building on the foundation. He says there's no other foundation that has been laid except the king himself, Christ Jesus. And he says that when we build on that foundation, we're building stuff that endures, stuff that lasts, whereas everything else just blows away like tumbleweed in the wind. Are you building the kind of society that Jesus has in mind? It's not just what you're building for yourself. It's building what the king intended for his world. That's what he's talking about in verses 24 to 27. That's why it's so important for us to follow our leader. Now, some of the things that Jesus says in verses 21 to 23, people puzzle over. So I want to just read those verses through and then try to make sense of the things that people puzzle about. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Now, what Jesus says in those verses doesn't seem to mesh very well with the way that we have understood the gospel. We understand the gospel along the lines of Romans 10 and verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And that's fantastic. That's a wonderful gospel text. Declaring that Jesus is Lord is coming under his kingship, recognizing him as our leader. Believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead is believing the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection so that he has been raised up and made king over the entire planet. This is the basis of the restoration of the whole world under God's kingship. This is the good news of the gospel. But what's the use of saying that Jesus is my leader and then not following the leader? That would be a false claim, wouldn't it? That would be meaningless. If we call him Lord, that is, the leader of humanity, then surely we want to follow the leader. That's why Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. See, obeying the king is the only way to experience life under his kingship, life as his Father in heaven intended life to be. This is a little bit of a bother because I think sometimes that we spend a lot of time in our churches in singing songs. We sing, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, that's okay, but that only means something if you are also inspiring each other to implement my kingship here in this world. Now, we need to talk a little bit about what he means by the kingdom of heaven here. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you think of the kingdom of heaven as going to heaven when you die, then this is a scary verse because it says you're going to miss out on going to heaven. That's not what Jesus meant. Jesus was talking about heaven as God's space, the place where God lives. He literally says, my Father who is in heaven, because that's where God lives, right? And Earth is our space, the space that God created for us. And Earth is meant to be a kingdom of heaven. That is, it's meant to be a society, a world, a country, a nation, a people, a kingdom under heaven's management. So his father is the one who runs heaven and earth. His father is in heaven, and we who are on earth are meant to enter a world that is under heaven's kingship. A world here on earth that is a kingdom of heaven, that's run by heaven, that's governed by heaven, by God, and the appointed ruler whom he appointed to rule over the earth, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Think about how things worked in the Old Testament, and this might make sense for you. Jerusalem was the capital of a country that was a kingdom of heaven in Old Testament times. The rest of the nations were nations who had other kings and lived under other kingships. But Jerusalem was under the kingship of God. And in Jerusalem, King David, or one of his descendants then, reigned on the throne as a representative of the Father who was in heaven, the heavenly king who reigned over everything. So Jerusalem was a capital city that represented the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's literally what Jerusalem was in Old Testament times. So when you get to the end of the New Testament, we don't have all the humans and God saying, well, we'll give up on this old earth. This poor old material place is so bad. We'll just bomb it out of existence and we'll take you into my space as well. The earth was a failure project. It's not how it works. What happens is that the government of heaven comes to earth and it restores God's kingship on earth. So we finish up with what's called a new Jerusalem, a new capital of God's kingship on the earth, because the governance of heaven has finally come to the earth. And ultimately there's a resurrection and people are living under God's divine kingship the way it was always purposed and always intended. And the governance of God has come back to earth. And by the way, the new Jerusalem is so much bigger than the Old Testament Jerusalem. In Old Testament times, that was the capital of just one little tiny area that represented a kingdom under God's governance. But what's restored under Jesus is the whole earth that is now God's kingdom, God's reigning place, the place where God, the heavenly king, is in charge and his anointed ruler, the Christ, is our sovereign and the whole earth comes under his kingship. So what Jesus is talking about was, if you, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He's saying not everyone who calls me your leader or your king will come under my kingship. He is heaven's appointed ruler over the earth. So the earth under his kingship is a kingdom of heaven, a kingship under heaven. But not everyone who says, oh, Jesus is the leader, Jesus is king, enters into his kingship, life, society, under his reign. It's only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven who enters into the experience of what life is like under his kingship. And that's why it's so important for us not just to sing songs about Jesus' kingship and then go back and live the same way the rest of the week. We need to be a people who are implementing Jesus' kingship in the way we treat our neighbours, in the way we run our business, in the way we treat people in our family, in our household, in our street. It's only the ones who live as the leader instructed us to who enter into the experience of what he envisioned, his purposes, his kingship. It's only in coming under and implementing what Jesus said that we can enter into what he planned and purposed for us. Saying without doing is empty. And that's why the king says that there'll be many on that day who say, oh, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform mighty miracles. Now, in your name's repeated there three times because these guys are claiming, these people are claiming to operate with the authority of the king. They're claiming power to do stuff, mighty stuff, with the authority of King Jesus. And people who read this today often go, you know, how could they prophesy? How could they drive out demons? How could they perform miracles if God wasn't actually with them? These guys are claiming to do that. You need to realize that not everybody in television ministries that claims to be doing this stuff is actually doing this stuff. It's not the people who put on a big show, who claim to have the power of the king. It is those who are implementing the kingship of Jesus that we need to be listening to and following. Anywhere where there's power, there are people who come because they think they can get power from it. And that's true under Jesus' kingship, just as it is in the governments of this world. There's a horrific news story here in Western Australia this week about a guy named Paul White, who was arrested for embezzling $22 million. Now, I'm raising this because he's pleaded guilty. I don't know how you manage to embezzle I don't even know what you do with $22 million. Share it amongst your friends and use it to try to get, I don't know how that works, but wherever there's power, there are people who want to grasp power and to make it into their own personal benefit. There's an enormous danger of us trying to use Jesus to get what we want for ourselves. Because, you know, we talked a few moments ago about preachers and teachers who want to be able to preach with authority because Jesus said, I want to have the power for my... The danger of grasping power for ourselves is one that every preacher faces. It's probably one that every Christian faces. It's one that every human faces. It's one that they faced ever since the Garden of Eden, when God gave them authority over the animals of the world, and they said, we think we'll take authority over ourselves as well. The danger of claiming that power for ourselves instead of operating the way that King Jesus wants us to operate. That's what's wrong with the world. And Jesus knows this. He expects this. He knows that's the nature of the human heart. And he says, you might have been claiming to operate in my name. You might have been grasping my power to be able to do stuff to make you look good and make you look wealthy or to embezzle stuff for yourself. But if you're not doing what I instructed you to, if you're not building the kind of society that I envisage for my world, if you're just grasping something for yourself, for your own power, then you're a scammer. And I tell you, you're not operating in my name. I never knew you. So get lost, you scammers, is effectively what verse 23 is saying. The king recognizes those of us who are trying to build on the rock, who want to found our lives and our society on his kingship the way that he intends, and those of us who are only operating selfishly for whatever I can get out of life for myself. Living for his kingship or living for our own benefit, vastly different things, literally worlds apart. To wrap it up, Jesus is the only king who can restore God's reign on earth. There is no other leader. There is no other name given by heaven by which human society can be saved from the mess that we've got ourselves into. So at the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, the king is seeking to reset the values of humanity who are meant to be living under his kingship. He challenges you. Why do you get up in the morning? To make money? Is that what it's about? The king says, you cannot serve me and money. So we respond by saying, well, if I don't worry about that stuff, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? And the king says, don't you realize you have a heavenly father who provides for the birds and the flowers? And if you realized you're living under his kingship, then you would trust his provision instead of making getting more money the goal of your life. So instead of living for yourself, prioritize seeking God's kingship. Seek first heaven's kingship over the earth, and everything else that you're looking for will be yours as well. Church, we don't exist to hold meetings. We don't exist to sing. We exist to implement Jesus' vision of a world under God's reign. No wonder people were amazed that Jesus didn't sound like a Bible teacher. He sounded like the king who is rebuilding the world.